lost under the surf, under the pressure of walking in your shoes.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Sugar Wright, host of the Sugar Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Me Farm Radio. The show will be starting up in about 2 minutes. Getting the system fired up. Don't go anywhere. Right now, you are listening to Linkin Park, Numb. Enjoy. And a pleasant good afternoon to you wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Sugar Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch Freeform Radio streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org, wherever you may be. However you may be listening to this program, thank you for making this program part of your Monday afternoon. Coming to you live from the WMFO studios here in Medford as it is another Monday edition of the show in which that we had a lot go on over the weekend, most notably as it pertains to the Boston Celtics. And I will admit that a lot of the show today is going to be surrounding the Celtics. There will be other topics we will touch on as well. But the Boston Celtics are going to dominate the conversation on the show. So, if you'd like to call in and get in touch with me, you can. You can call in at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in to the show. Before you can look ahead to Game 4 tonight, that's at 8:30, you got to look back at Game 3. Because I have a lot of overall general thoughts as it pertains to Game 3. And some of the things that just did not sit well with me. And one of them I really do think is becoming a reoccurring issue for this team as the Celtics continue to move along in the playoffs. So we're going to start there. We're going to start talking about the number one reoccurring issue that I am now having with this Boston Celtics team is their constant whining and complaining to the referees. We'll start there. And the reason why I want to start there is because there are a lot of other things in terms of issues and problems that are plaguing this team right now. And I've noticed a trend going back to the Milwaukee series that I think could really be the ultimate downfall of the Boston Celtics if they do not resolve these issues quickly. But number one, if you're constantly complaining to the referees and you're constantly, you know, throwing up your arms, trying to talk to the referees, I don't even give a damn about who's refereeing and whatnot, you have already lost half the battle psychologically. And it's really bothersome because for the last several months, I really have believed that this was a team that had turned the page. They were mentally tougher. They were much more resolved. And they've shown a tremendous deal of resolve in these playoffs so far. But I just can't help to wonder and ask this question. Celtic fans, would you say that the biggest problem surrounding the Boston Celtics team right now is their constant whining and you know what to the referees? Or would you say that the turnovers that have been an issue for this team in this series has now reared its ugly head? You call me, I'm here, and you're there. Call in. Well, let's talk about it. But for me, I'm going to start with the constant complaining to the referees. Because number one, if you look across the court, you look at the opponents, you look at Milwaukee, you look at the Heat, especially during this series, how often do you really see the players throw their hands up and whine and cry and moan to the referees about calls that they aren't getting or calls that are being made against them? How often are you honestly seeing that? Not often, right? Right. And the issue that I see with the Boston Celtics is that when you're so fixated and you're so focused on trying to get the calls, you lose sight of what needs to be done on the court. You have a job on the court. Defend. Your defensive assignment. Fulfill it and then worry about the next thing after. But the moment that you see that the Celtics do not get calls going their way or a call that is being made against them, you see the collective responses from the players that are on the court and even at times the players that are on the bench. That's problematic. That screams to me that you're more concerned about trying to make sure that you're winning the battles between the Celtics and the referees instead of the Celtics versus the Heat. Your opponent is the Miami Heat, not the referees, the men and women that wear the pinstripe, white and black. That's not your opponent. See, it started in the last series against Milwaukee. We all know and how much we talked about how Giannis was getting calls and the star players like Jaylen Brown and Tatum, they weren't getting the same favorable calls and so forth. Oh, I very much remember all of that. Now, it's like a constant theme. And I really want to ask this question to Coach Ime Udoka most notably. What conversations are you having with the players in regards to this matter? Honestly. Because there's one thing that you don't agree with the call or the way that a game is being officiated. That's one thing. But when it translates to the court and when it translates to you losing focus on the court where it matters, you have a problem. Because I said this at the time, the Miami Heat, they are a different animal. They are not the Brooklyn Nets. They are not the Milwaukee Bucks, the defending NBA champions who are now eliminated. This is a team that is very gritty, very tough, mentally tough in between the ears. And dare I say, I'm not even so sure that the Boston Celtics at times can match the Miami Heat's mental toughness on the court. I'm not sure. Through three games, I have seen a lot of moaning and groaning to the referees. Don't even get me started on the turnovers. I'm not neglecting that, by the way. I'm not neglecting the turnovers because they're not getting off scotch easy at all. But I'm taking my time nitpicking, surgically dissecting this team and where the deficiencies are as it pertains to why they're down 2-1 going into a pivotal game for tonight at TD Garden. But start with the complaining on the referees. Shut the hell up and play basketball. Let's start there, please. Because the more and more that I see Jason Tatum, most notably, why am I not getting a call? I was fouled. No, that wasn't a foul. Shut up and play basketball. Shut up. Like, I'm sick and tired of it. And the same thing with Jaylen Brown. Marcus Smart? Oh, my gosh. Dude, love you, man. But seriously? Shut the hell up. Play basketball. Worry about defending. Worry about making sure that Bam Adebayo is not a factor in this series. Worry about guys like Kyle Lowry not able to impose his will against the Celtics. Not worry about what Tim Donnelly or Scott Foster. I'm just using names as an example in terms of referees. So when I question the mental toughness of this team, this is what I'm talking about. Yeah, you would want to try to get as much of an edge as possible. But if you're trying to get your edge from having calls go your way and you trying to make sure that you're getting the calls, just admit that you've already lost the battle. Just admit it. Because for a team that has played as well as it has played coming into this series, I just wonder, is this going to be a continued theme surrounding the Boston Celtics, or is head coach Ime Udoka going to talk to the guys and say, stop worrying about the officials, play your game, follow the game plan, execute on the floor, make your free throws, stop turning the ball over, and worry about winning the game? I think it's a very fair question to ask. And if you're a Celtics fan, that should be a very fair ask. Because a team that worries about the officials is a team that's already lost half the battle. And the Miami Heat, the way that I've observed them so far, they've shown that. They've already shown that so far they're winning the mental edge. And you would say, well, the Suns are the better team. They are. And I'm not getting into the whole argument or debate over, oh, well, the Celtics have won, like, how many quarters? They've won, what, 10 out of the 12 quarters that they've played? Or 9 out of the 12, whatever the number is? I'm not sorry, but I don't give a rat's ass about that. I truly don't. The moment that you start losing focus on what truly matters, you've already lost. That's where I am with this team. So if there's one thing that I'm asking the Boston Celtics, for the love of God, as we are now about 3.5 hours until tip-off at TD Garden for Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals, stop grinding with the officials. Stop. Stop moaning, complaining, whining about calls you're getting or calls that are being made against you. Focus on your opponent, the Miami Heat. I don't want to hear a damn word about the referees. Just stop. Stop, please. If you're listening to the program live, You can call into the program, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I have a lot more to get into. This is just the start. This is just the start, folks. So, I started off talking about the Celtics and their inability to stop complaining about the referees to start the program in this first segment of the show. As we continue to move along in this program, the one thing that has also been an issue that has really like just clawed at my rear end is something I truly fear that could potentially be the determining factor in tonight's game four. And trust me, when I tell you what that is, you're going to be like, oh boy, I didn't think about that before. Trust me, you'll thank me later. You'll thank me later. Coming up next, the issues for the Boston Celtics don't just lie only between the players and the referees. But there is another issue that can sneak up on you like an unexpected heart attack and ultimately be your demise if you're not careful. I'm going to tell you exactly what that issue is for the Boston Celtics. Coming up next on the other side of this break, you're listening to The Shuky Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
WMFO in Medford.
Yeah.
You owe no home of no family.
As humans, we ask ourselves all kinds of questions. But what if we were forced to ask ourselves a question every day that affected the outcome of the most basic things, the most important things in our lives? The question is, what is your sexual orientation or gender identity? And the answer is the difference between keeping your job or getting fired. The answer is the difference between staying in your home or getting evicted. The answer is the difference between receiving medical treatment or not. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against people based on their answer to this question. LGBT Americans have the right to say, I do, but they don't have the same basic rights as everyone else. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
How do you dispose of cigarettes?
Well, there's part of plants.
Really? Fertilizer and dried plant roots can catch fire.
Trash cans okay?
Please. All that trash can easily catch fire.
So off my porch is a bad idea.
Cigarettes tossed into mulch, leaves, and grass start many fires. Fire can grow up the side of a building before anyone notices.
Fine. Bucket of sand?
That's perfect. Put it out. All the way. Every time. To learn more, go to mass.gov/DFS.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke. When I woke up, I couldn't speak or walk.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
182 over 100, and I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest, and then a stroke. Everything changed. It felt like my life was over.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke. If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
180 over 110, and I had a stroke. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If you've come off your treatment plan, get back on it, or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
head to toe. Everything's changed head to toe.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Touch Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in to the program is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. That was a throwback to 1999. And if you're old enough like myself to remember, remember the song Boom 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 by Venga Boys? Yeah, that was like one of the big hits from the summer of 1999. And I don't know why, but that song just brought back a lot of memories from that time. I mean, a lot of it really good memories at that. And so I guess you could say that was rather an interesting song choice, to say the least. But I personally can't help the fact that, you know, like as a 90s kid growing up, that was one of the songs that I remember from my childhood and whatnot. So, a good trip down memory lane, for all I know. But either way, so as of right now, forget memory lane. Talk about present lane, and that is that the Boston Celtics have a playoff game tonight at TD Garden, Game 4 against the Miami Heat. They're down 2-1 in the series. after nearly coming back from 25 points down in game three and coming within one, only to literally throw the game away with the turnovers and the careless decision making with the basketball. And I mean, a lot really bothered me about game three that I figured that now would be a good time to talk about it. And we started talking about it during the first segment. But there was an issue that I do believe that is becoming more glaring, if you will. It's glaring because I think it's out there now for everyone to see. But I do wonder if it's being talked about enough. And there was something that I noticed the other night while I was watching Game 3. And it's something that I do wonder, is this a psychological thing with this team as it currently stands? And that is, why is it that this Boston Celtics team has become so hesitant to drive the ball in the lane? Why? Because among all of the things that the Celtics have not done well so far, protecting a big lead, that's one. Playing sound fundamental basketball, at times that has come back to hurt this team. But when I go back and I watch that series against Milwaukee, and even in this round, I've noticed that there are times that they just won't drive the basketball down in the lane. And when they do, they just kick it back out to the top of the key, find an open shooter at the three-point line, and it drives me absolutely nuts. Why? Because if there's one thing I will say, I feel like there are times during the first round series against the Brooklyn Nets that it was a mixture between, you know, shooting the open jump shot, driving it in the lane, getting to the free throw line. And now, I think that Milwaukee series really changed their mindset in terms of how they attack. Because I remember in that series distinctively that there will be games where I'm literally screaming at the TV saying, "Would you guys please drive it into the lane, drive the basketball, stop settling for these three-point jump shots." And it was an issue. It was an issue then. And I do believe that the furthermore this team were to advance, because obviously the next step would be the NBA Finals if they can get past the Miami Heat, they are going to have to attack the rim. Do a better job. I look at Tatum most notably, and I say, you got to do a better job of attacking the rim, driving the ball down in the lane. I look at Jaylen Brown, and I say, he has a much more of a better, well-rounded game. He has his moments where he'll make an error and so forth, where like he did not play well in game one, and he owned that. But I also do think the team in itself, I don't get it. And we're going to talk about this ad nauseum during this segment. So if you want to chime into the conversation, you can at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I mean, I'm just trying to gather my thoughts and just really organize it, because it just feels like when you have so much that you want to say, but you just can't be like verbal diarrhea and just blare it all out. You just can't. So, with all of that being said, I think of the Boston Celtics right now as a team that is too reliant on the three-pointer. They are. And I do think that you talk about the Boston Celtics and their expectations going into Game 3. But when you talk about the way that the Miami Heat started out Game 3 with Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Kyle Lowry, and P.J. Tucker, and that is a by far more tougher team physically than Brooklyn was and than Milwaukee was. But I do think, and I do have to ask this question, and I do believe that we will get an answer tonight. How do the Boston Celtics combat that? The physicality. But even more importantly, how do they fight against the toughness that is this Miami Heat team? Because this is a very tough Miami team. PJ Tucker, and I talked about him previously on a podcast a little while back, in which that I said PJ Tucker was single-handedly the most important piece to the Milwaukee Bucks winning it all a year ago. He was. Yes, I know Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yes, he was the finals MVP. Yes, he was the best player on the court. I get all of that. Yes. But if we're going to be honest, there is a reason why Giannis and the Bucks, prior to last year, could not get out of the Eastern Conference Finals. They couldn't get past the second round. They didn't get past Toronto in 19. They didn't get past the second round in 2020 in the bubble. PJ Tucker makes that much of a difference. He's doing it again with the Miami Heat. And now, a question that I would pose is, do the Boston Celtics have an answer for that? I don't know. I don't think they've shown that they have an answer for that yet. And, oh man, no one thought that this was going to be an easy series. I wholeheartedly believe that the Celtics are going to win the series in six games. But the more that you watch this team, then the more I really wonder, and I mean it sincerely, the more I watch this team, the more I begin to think, you're going to need a lot more from Jason Tatum. You're going to need a lot more from Brown. You're going to need a lot more from Marcus Smart. And that is stop settling for jump shots. And that is also going to include being more consistent. Most notably, Jason Tatum. Because Jason Tatum, I've noticed this now. This has become a real disturbing trend. He'll have games where he's looked great, and then he'll follow that up with very subpar performances. I'm not kidding. He'll give you 40 points in one game, and on the following night, he'll give you, 10 or 15 points? That's not going to cut it in the NBA playoffs. You need to be consistently great. And I wonder, can the Celtics bounce back tonight? Will they bounce back tonight? I hope that they do, because I got news for you. Game 5 is in Miami. That's on Wednesday. And you don't want to go back to Miami down 3-1. Now you'd have an uphill battle to climb, and it's not going to be pretty, and it's not going to be easy. If you have any thoughts on this series so far, you can call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Because I feel like going into this game 4, there is a lot more question marks surrounding this team than there are exclamation marks. One is the ability to combat against the toughness of the Miami Heat. Number two, getting out of their own way and stop arguing with the referees, because that is really become a massive issue now. That's number two. Number three, can they attack the rim with more focus and purpose? You have too many bleeping guys that are fixated on trying to shoot the three-pointer. Can I see a bit more aggressiveness from Tatum and Brown in that regard? Marcus Smart, the same thing. Stop camping around the three-point line. Get into the post. Get in along the boards. Who knows when Robert Williams III will return as well. You certainly missed his presence in Game 3. Because that's the other thing, too, as well. But, oh, man. Let me tell you something, folks. As much as I'm excited for Game 4 tonight, I am equally as nervous. because this is a different challenge in which that I do wonder about the mental toughness of this Boston Celtics team going up against a tougher Miami team that just seems to have that little extra it factor. And that it factor is that killer instinct. Why do I say that? Allow me to explain. As much as the Boston Celtics run has been magical so far, I fear that they are playing from behind too much. I really do. Let's go back to the Milwaukee series. They lose game one at home. They lose game three in Milwaukee. They tie it up, and Al Horford has that the game of his life in game four. Celtics blow that big lead late in the fourth quarter, that 18-point lead inside of 10 minutes remaining. They go back to Milwaukee, down 3-2, facing a must-win, and you saw big-time performances from Jason Tatum in Game 6, and obviously we all remember what happened in Game 7. They go down to Miami, and they blow another big lead in the third quarter, lose that game, bounce back to win big in Game 3, but in Game 4, Game 1, they did win. The Heat won thanks to the big comeback effort in game one in the third quarter. Game two, the Celtics dominate. Game three, as we all remembered from 2 days ago, absolutely putrid. Absolutely a putrid performance offensively by the Boston Celtics. That's the other part of it. Game four, who knows? Which Boston Celtics team are you going to get? I don't know. I couldn't even tell you. Except they know that their season is pretty much on the line. Because if they go down 3-1, I do not think they're coming back to Boston for Game 6. Miami is going to look to close it at home in Game 5. That'll be on Wednesday. But as I said, Celtics, they have some major questions right now. They're going to need an answer for it. They're going to need an answer for it in pretty short order. So if you have any thoughts or comments on Game 4 that is coming up ahead tonight for the Boston Celtics, you can call in at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in to the program. Coming up next, I cannot believe how much of a fool that one particular person thinks we really are. I'm going to tell you exactly who and what I'm talking about and why I do ultimately think this is going to be his own demise. You're listening to The Sugar Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
Yo, listen up, here's the story about a little guy that lives in a blue world. And all day and all night and everything he sees is just blue. Like him, inside and outside. Blue his house with a blue little window and a blue Corvette. And everything is blue for him and himself and everybody around. Cause he ain't got nobody to listen to.
I'm blue, I've been deed, I've been died. I've been deed, I've been died.
yes, I'm blue. Blue are the people here that walk around. Blue like my car at it's standing outside. Blue are the words I say and what I think. Blue are the feelings that live inside me. I'm blue. And everybody around, 'cause he ain't got nobody to listen. I'm blue.
Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
The kisses of the sun were sweet. I didn't blink. I let it in my eyes. Like an exotic drink, the radio playing songs that I have never heard. I don't know what to say. Oh, not another word, just la 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 la. It goes around the world, just la 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 la. It's all around the world, just la 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 la. And everybody's singing la 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 la. And now the bells are ringing la 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Sus Reform Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in is 855-915-9636. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. And as we are about to wrap up hour number one of the program, there was something that I was listening to today in which they got me thinking. Because I've talked about before in the past how in sports, winning covers and forgives a lot of things. That's just not an opinion, that's a fact. When you win, it overlooks the fact that you could be a pompous a-hole, or it overlooks the fact that you could be rather arrogant, or it overlooks the fact that you just do not give a damn about human decency. It just does. Unfortunately, sports is literally littered with too many examples of that. Now, as I think about the New England Patriots, I couldn't help but to think to myself, for someone who is truly as arrogant as ever, and I'm talking about Bill Belichick, doesn't it amaze you how he still thinks that he is just the smartest guy on the block? I mean, it doesn't it amaze you how he still walks and operates with this arrogant mentality, which I know more than you. I am better than you. And it blows my mind sincerely, because you still don't get it. I find amazing to me how is it that Bill Belichick so far does not know who's calling plays, right? And why is it alarming? Why is it bothersome to me here on May 23rd? Here's why. Because for a guy that was so hell-bent on allowing Tom Brady to walk out the door, in fact, you pushed him out the door, you wanted to draft the next guy and develop him and so forth, you don't have a damn clue as to who is going to be calling the offensive plays this upcoming season? I'm sorry, does it take a rocket scientist to see that this has got to be the most idiotic, moronic, asinine, and ass-backwards operation that I've seen probably in quite some time? You are so hell-bent on developing Mac Jones, you don't even know who's calling offensive plays. That is a problem, ladies and gentlemen. And yet there are some that will say, well, he's got a couple of months to figure this out. How about you get an effing clue and plan this well ahead instead of waiting until training camp to make that decision? That would make life a lot more easier, wouldn't it, eh? No, I'm the smartest guy. I'm the smartest guy in this room, so I'm going to just do this my way. Well, we are going to have an open competition, and we're going to, you know, determine who's going to be the play calling quarterback for this team. So it blows my mind. It sincerely blows my mind how Belichick, the guy who wanted to push Brady out of the door, you got the guy now. He's now going to year number two. You don't know who's calling plays. What's your plan? What's your plan for the 2022 season in that regard? Do you have a plan? And for a guy who's still in denial about what the Buffalo Bills are and what they have become and how much better they have gotten during the offseason, I don't know about you, Patriot fans, but I'm concerned. I'm concerned because the whole slogan of "In Bill We Trust" has put a complete blindfold around your eyes and say, well, I trust him. He's going to make the best decision. Oh, really? Okay. So, when we get to September, I don't want to hear a word. I don't want to hear a word as to when things start off poorly, offensively, and everybody's wondering who's the one that's calling the plays and so forth. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to even see attitudes from Bill Belichick and the coaching staff as to when they get asked who's calling the plays on offense. Like, did you not know that at some point that you were going to get asked? What the hell is wrong with you, dude? Like, this is the prime example of thinking you're so smart that you're truly the epitome of a dumbass. That's exactly what this is. You are so smart that you look more of an idiot than I realize. A reporter asks you today, Hey, Bill, who is going to be calling the offensive plays for Mac Jones in the offense this season? Right now, we're in the process of we're allowing Joe Judge and Matt Patricia to call some plays on offense for the Patriots. Like, really? Is this what we're doing? So you're allowing that stooge over there who had a failed experiment in New York to call plays? And Matt Patricia? The bearded beanstalk who absolutely disgraced himself in Detroit? You're allowing him to have a hand in the development of Mac Jones? Oh, hell no. No. Absolutely not. And you want me to sit back and say, and Bill, we trust. We trust Bill. He cannot be questioned. He's won 6 Super Bowl titles as a head coach. Like, seriously, a lot of you need to get your head out of your ass. I'm going to say it honestly. Like, it blows my mind. And it blows my complete utter psyche when it comes to Bill Belichick in this regard. What is going on in Foxborough? Well, it's May. How can you be panicky so early? This is the difference between those who think critically and people who just blind follow, like mindless fans who do not know how to ask critical things. Thoughtful questions. Because I'm not the only one that's asking. Those who are in the media are asking the same question. People that are in the NFL media are asking the same question. What the hell is going on down in Foxborough? So, in an offseason in which that you needed to make major changes on the coaching staff, your biggest change is bringing in 2 failed head coaches in which that they're responsibilities are not even defined. Make it make sense, please. Can you? Right. If you got any thoughts on this, please call into the program at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. That's what I'm going to call in. Because the more I think about it, the more I really begin to think about this from a critical standpoint, the more I'm really looking at Bill Belichick and I'm saying to myself, let me put it to you this way. Your boss, Robert Kraft, has basically put you on notice. And you're going into the season, you're not even sure in terms of having a plan. Who's going to be calling the plays for your second-year quarterback who is nowhere near the league of Josh Allen, who just so happens to be in your division. And don't you even get me started on how the AFC landscape has changed this season. Because this changed. And you're going to have an even tougher battle than you initially thought. Go look at Indy. They go out and they get Matt Ryan. Go look at Denver. We obviously know about the big trade, acquiring Russell Wilson from the Seattle Seahawks. We know about the Cleveland Browns and that controversial situation. They go out and they make the big trade and sign for Deshaun Watson. AFC's gotten a lot more tougher. In all of those situations, you know what they have what you don't? What is it? They all of those coaching staffs have defined roles. Your doesn't. Why? And this is supposedly coming from the greatest head coach of all time. Funny how the sometimes the smartest guy in the room ends up being looking like the biggest dumbass of all time. I'm annoyed and fired up. Here we are on May 23rd talking about the Patriots and what we saw down in Gillette today regarding the questioning of Bill Belichick and his annoyance. It's like, why the hell are you annoyed? Did you honestly think for one moment that you weren't going to be questioned? Because if you thought you weren't going to be questioned by the media, you're high. You're high, you're dumb, you're probably walking around with just all with an old bag of milk somewhere shoved where the sun don't shine, thinking that everything is going to be sweeter with age. But in the end, all you're left with is curdled up milk and what was a viable solution gone bad. Enough is enough. It's time to start asking the tough questions, and that's exactly what I'm going to do, starting now. And if I haven't before, oh, man. I'm telling you, Patriot fans.